give you the thumbnail face right off the get go.
I always gotta put it on you or put it on me because I know you probably can't focus with you just up there.
I would look at myself all the time. I'm such a narcissist. Is that what narc? Wait,
no, a narc is like someone who's in narcotics.
Ooh, wait,
who's
that's a tattletale?
To be a narc?
Yeah. Well, because narc is like you told.
No, that's a snitch.
Ooh, I'm pretty sure it means also like.
No, a narc is like someone that's like trying to catch somebody.
Okay.
I think
you're wrong. You don't know the streets like I do.
You thought narc meant narcissist.
You don't know the streets like me, Daniel.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. With me, I have Nathan Natividad. Can I call you Nathan?
Just gonna dox me?
Yeah.
People didn't know our last names.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they probably did.
We said it once.
Yeah, you can call me Nathan.
Is that short for Jonathan?
No.
No?
It's short for Nathaniel, which is what happens when we do the Dragon Ball Z thing where we touch fingers.
Ooh,
we turn into Nathaniel.
Definitely. We're brothers. We read comics.
We sure do. Speaking of book club, is that a book without pictures on the desk?
No, this is a book. This is manga.
Oh, okay, good.
Backwards book.
Okay, good. Wow, that's, I mean,
yeah,
this a little is bit better than a normal book, I guess.
This is the Goodbye Airy book I told you about.
Oh, okay, sweet.
We were in Barnes & Noble, you know, just having a nice little date. She needed a book for like a flight she was going on, and I got this because I really wanted one.
Nice.
And you can borrow that if you'd like to give it a read.
Did you already? You read this. You told me about this last week, huh?
Yeah.
And you thought it was very good.
I thought it was very good. You can keep your expectations low because it is a manga, so you kind of have to go into that.
Yeah.
Thinking that, but I think you would like it. Okay. I don't know if it's something we could necessarily do like an episode on. Like, I don't think it'd really be a great episode. Just
tell me to read, not for content.
I mean, it could be like part of your pull list.
You want me to just read as a hobby?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, thank you. I'll give it a look.
Ooh, speaking of Sarah and reading, I was reading like the other day, and Sarah got this like new ice cream, and it was like a apple pie flavor. It was like the Little Debbie's like fruit pie.
Okay.
And I was like laying down reading, and she sat like right next to me. Normally we like hand each other the pint with like the with the spoon in, but since I was right next to her, she was just feeding me ice cream while I was reading comics.
Oh my god.
And that's my new favorite bliss position to read comics in. Or that's reading. My
new favorite position is crazy.
and little spoons full of ice cream comes to my mouth.
You know, when we were talking about our favorite ways to read comics, we didn't call it positions. So the fact that you're like, that's my new favorite position that we do, Sarah, me and you.
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
It was awesome. Like, I didn't even ask her to. She just started doing it. And I was like, this is great.
Ice cream and comics. Nothing better.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Anyway, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Scott Pilgrim, the poll list, and Back Matter Matters. But we start with the news.
What do we got for news? What's hot?
Nathan, we got a trailer for the new Echo series.
We did.
Coming January 10th.
Yes.
It's going to be 5 episodes.
Ooh.
Which sounds awesome.
That sounds good. I think sweet spot for me right now is 6.
6? Yeah.
I think 5 might be like, oh, this is over. Because Loki is 6, right?
I thought it was 8, but I could be wrong. I'm not caught up on it, but
you know, I said that, and I didn't even really like Loki season 1, so
what's maybe cool it's not my is spot. Like, this is like the show that I'm least excited for, like as far as all Marvel releases. You know, trailer looks good though, made it look more like enticing.
So you're more interested in Agatha, Coven of Chaos.
All right, second.
There we go.
But the fact that it's 5 episodes, I'm like, all right. What's 5 episodes?
I mean, I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, fuck, they're going for realsies.
You got Kingpin in there.
Yeah, you got Kingpin being a big, big baby man.
Being a big old bitch.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because it seems like it's kind of between what Disney Plus has been doing Marvel shows and Netflix, which was like very established itself as being like super grounded or whatever.
Which is a bit of a crossover kind of thing.
Yeah, but this one I like that there's a big baby. Is Vincent D'Onofrio okay, by the way? Because he just looks so big.
Surely there's like stuffing in there.
I would hope the stuffing. Maybe not pads or anything, just like, but he's just like throwing people around and that looks fun, or like, you know, they're just killing people super fast, you know? And so I think it looks good.
Yeah. You know? So I'm here for it.
I can't wait to read Echo, because that book's supposed to be really good, actually.
Daredevil and Echo? Or is there like a Echo?
There's like an Echo series by itself by David Mack, who does the like watercolor stuff for a lot of Bendis' stuff.
Okay.
Because I think he wrote and did the art for it.
Because what we talked about on like a older episode, the writer Taboo, who is also part of the Black Eyed Peas, he did a series called Daredevil and Echo.
Okay.
From this year. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but he was one of the co-writers on that.
Okay, interesting.
So
we'll take a look.
Could have been our first Taboo book, dude. Yeah.
That's true.
We could do just a whole month of rapper comics.
You know? Oh, dude, that's such a good idea.
I'll write it down.
Starboy. A themed month.
Method Man weird comics and shit.
Daniel, DC is announcing a new line of compact comics.
Dude, right after I just got this like one from France, you know? Yeah. They're basically copying me.
Yeah, dude, because you got the Watchmen compact.
Yeah, right? Do you want to see it?
You showed me it, but you can show the listeners. I love the comparison.
Yeah, got it. So this is my normal copy of Watchmen, just like the $20 cheap one.
Yeah, the floppy.
And then this is like the French version, compact version. So it's like a little bit shorter, a little bit thinner.
Yeah.
Same thickness, you know.
Compare it to Goodbye, whatever.
Goodbye, Erie. So it looks
like. So those two together, they're about the same, right?
So about the size of a manga.
Yeah.
As you can see there. So.
So that's pretty cool. So they're doing that for a couple of their classics, including All-Star Superman. Far Sector is going to be one of the ones on there.
Is that considered a classic?
You know, I read it and I didn't finish it. But maybe, you know, they have confidence in it. People really like it. It like won a bunch of Eisners. I should give it a reread, I think. But and they are going to sell for $9.99.
That's how much that was. It was like 9 euros.
Yeah. Or 10 so euros. Maybe there's a test market and they're like, literally, if only one person buys this compact Watchmen, we will launch it in America. And you are the person to do that.
Yeah. I mean, the letters are smaller, which I don't like love. And then
that is a bit weird for Watchmen specifically.
And then just seeing, you know, like Dave Gibbons artwork in a smaller format is like a bit of a bummer. If anything, I'd want like bigger, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, I think it's easier for people to get into it if there's less of a.
And
this is fine
for what you, yeah, I mean, and for what you're getting with like a normal copy of Watchmen, it's like $20 for like the whole thing, you know?
Yeah,
that's like pretty accessible. I feel like
paper quality is like a little bit different, and so that they can make it cheaper, I think. But yeah,
it's like
I think this is really
it's
good
like
move
the newspaper love, yeah no
love,
it's cool.
I love when DC tries things, you know? They're like, let's go to Walmart, and then that kind of didn't work. And then they're like, let's do smaller. You know, but they're taking swings. That's what I like about them.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate the affordable aspect of it. You know?
Yeah. Remember when DC was like, let's sell action figures and comics at the same time?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I still haven't seen one.
The punch things, or what do they call them?
I don't remember what they're called. Do they have a name?
Yeah, they're page punchers.
That's a good name.
Isn't that what they were called?
I can't remember. Yeah. I haven't seen one in the wild.
You'd get like a trade and then like a little guy.
I think it was just the first issue.
Was it? Oh, that's fucked.
It might have been a trade.
Anyway. But no, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah. Daniel, we love Christmas themed things. DC's coming out with DC's Twas the Mite Before Christmas. And it's got Batmite, I think, on it.
Oh, no.
But what's exciting about this one
is... I was like, Mighty Thor?
But what's exciting about this one is that Dan Mora... is doing covers, and he designed Santa Claus and Krampus for Batman Santa Silent Night.
You know, I discovered there's a Krampus comic and added it to our Christmas list.
Okay, that's a good idea. I like that. But it's cool. The
Santa, who designed it?
Dan Mora.
Oh,
he did the cover for it, and then he designed the Santa Claus.
Oh, I love it. And he normally does Klaus stuff. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So it makes sense that he would be the one to...
Wait, is this Krampus design in there?
No.
They're going to make you buy it.
They're going to make me buy it.
Have you seen Krampus, the horror?
I've seen no Krampus things.
You should, because it's so much fun.
Doesn't it have...
Adam Scott, yes.
Adam Scott, thank you. You know what I need.
Let me tell you what else you need, Nathan.
Okay, what do I need?
I don't know if we talked about this before. It's just something I heard about recently.
Okay.
But there's a like a new Spawn suit that's going to be in a new series called Rat City.
Cool.
It's a Spawn based in the year 2092. Have you seen this redesign?
I've not. Is it cool?
It's fucking sick. Look at that.
Ooh.
It's kind of like if...
Whoa.
If Spawn was in like Tron Zack Snyder's shit? Justice League or something.
Yeah, whoa.
I think that's a lot of fun.
There's a lot going on here for sure.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I'll buy the number one Spawn, purely based off of the design.
You know, Spawn more like Tron.
Got him. But yeah, I thought that was cool. I thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah, I like that.
Another
man that takes swings is Todd McFarlane.
Absolutely. The fact that there wasn't like a future Spawn yet or like a Spawn 2099 is crazy to me.
Yeah, you'd think that he would have done that 300 issues ago.
Right, yeah.
You know, two new series that got announced.
Oh, good. It's Series I.
Tom King and Bilquis Evely. Famous for their Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow series.
Mm-hmm.
They're back at it again at Dark Horse for Helen of Windhorn. And that's going to be a series that drops next year, probably.
Dark Horse, you said?
Yeah, Dark Horse.
Is that kind of like a medieval kind of thing?
No, I mean, when I saw the preview, I was like, is that Woman of Tomorrow? But no, it's something else.
Okay.
So I don't really know what it's about. I didn't click on the link.
It looks like it's about Amelia Earhart or something.
Probably not.
What's the book about?
I don't know. I didn't look.
All right.
I can look it up if you want.
Nah, it's fine. Nathan.
Yes.
DC is doing something that they probably should have done a long time ago. But do you remember when Jason Todd died? You know,
Death in the Family?
Death in the Family.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, previously to that, DC opened up like a poll for voting.
Famously, yeah.
Into whether or not they would kill Jason Todd.
Mm-hmm.
They went with killing Jason Todd, but they had an alternate comic made for if they chose to make him live.
Yep.
And they are going to be releasing that alternate comic.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy that they've been sitting on that for like 30 years or whatever.
What if there was a Jason Todd story where he like saw a version of his past where he didn't die, and it was the version that was like if he voted to be lived?
That's what they should do, honestly.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. It'd be like, oh man, this is what my life would be.
I need DC publication right now.
Yeah, I know. Also, they should let us vote again.
As to for what?
For the president, Daniel. No.
The president in DC?
Wait, what if next year around voting season, they're like, go vote for the president and if we should kill fucking Wonder Woman or something? That would be cool. Go to the polls and then hit the polls. I don't know. That'd be cool.
Yeah, strip polls.
Hit the stripper polls. Can you go? What if a strip club, Daniel? Hear me out. Don't laugh yet.
I need to go to the polls. Like, I got to take off work. Can I get paid for this?
I'm sorry, boss. Got to go to the polls.
I got
to
do my civic duty.
My civic duty.
And they don't even have like the voting booth there. You're just at the strip club. You're like, this is there, right?
There's one like Biden, one Trump dancer.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. Man, I got ideas today.
I don't think I have anything else,
Daniel. Remember Constantine 2?
Like
how that was going to happen and then it stopped? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's back on apparently.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Cut it out. It's fine.
Why? Well,
like there was like the writer's strike and nothing was happening. So yeah, it's back on.
Well, like it was going to be canceled as part of like James Gunn thing, but now I guess it's back. So I don't know.
Okay. So kind of news.
Apparently, yeah, according to...
As far as I knew, I thought it was still going on in development.
No, I saw that it was canceled like a while ago, and I never told Sophie.
Oh, yeah. Her
heart couldn't handle it. And then my plan was to eventually be like, one day she'd ask me what happened to that Constantine thing.
Like 10 years later.
Yeah. And then I'd be like, oh, they like canceled it. And then I would act like it's no big deal so that she doesn't freak out about it, you know?
Yeah.
But now I don't have to do that. I don't have to live in that reality.
Yeah.
I could just be like, they're still working on it.
That just be like, you know, they're writing something that Keanu Reeves didn't like, and so he left the project, you know? Make her feel like, oh, even if they did get it, it would be bad.
Yeah. Kind of. Ooh, that's a good lie.
Yeah.
It's a good lie.
I'm elite at lying. I do it every day. Ask my wife.
Yeah, you lie to your wife every day.
Yeah.
Cool. That's all I had then.
All righty. What did we read this week, Nathan?
We read Scott Pilgrim's Precious Little Life.
This is our Thanksgiving comic, Scott the Pilgrim.
That's good.
Got him.
is it really? Is that when this comes out?
No. It's like the week before.
That's funny. Yeah. So Scott Pilgrim.
Brian Lee O'Malley.
We finally got to a Blom book. That's what I call him. Brian Lee O'Malley.
I hate that. this is based off of Sam's recommendation.
Yes.
Back when he suggested that. He suggested just Brian Lee O'Malley movies in general, or books in general.
Yep. So this is for you, Sam.
But also, Scott Pilgrim Takes Off comes out when this episode drops.
And so it just happened to work out.
Perfect.
We finally got, you know, the time in our schedule, and then it worked out.
We procrastinated enough.
Yes, we did.
This is a pile of shit, wasn't it?
Dude, what an absolute garbage pile.
What a stinker.
No, Daniel, this is the first book where I just wanted to bundle up in some blankets, you know, and just like binge the whole thing. Did that make you feel that way too, or did you actually hate it?
No, yeah, I did that. I'm on like volume 4 right now.
Oh, dude, I want to so bad.
You didn't, dude. Okay, so I looked up like collections of this.
Yeah,
they have like deluxe editions, which is like 2 volumes at a time.
Yeah,
and they're like large, like normal size.
Yeah,
so you can get like real big hardcovers. You can get like the collection of the 3 of them. It's like $90, but I think it's so worth it.
Dude, I would do that.
So
after reading this, I was like, this fucks so hard, dude.
Did you know that Scott Pilgrim has a video game?
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't know that. And I'm going to buy that like when you leave probably.
Yeah,
and
play it's that. Like a, it's kind of like, to my understanding, it's kind of like the old TMNT like arcade games.
All right.
Something like that. Yeah. So
It was delisted for like a while, but they brought it back like 2 years ago.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I wonder how Brian Lee O'Malley like pitched this to like Oni Press. Because like you read it.
He has his pitch in the back matter, actually.
Okay. All right. Dumb question then.
Yeah. Dumb question. You didn't read the back matter. I didn't read that part of it either, but it was a long pitch. It was like 2 pages.
Cool. Because, yeah, you have to be like, all right, it's a slice of life thing. There's like this love triangle or whatever. This and then also,
like, he's kind of a pedophile, technically, but like, don't even worry about that.
Yeah. It's fine. And he kills people and it's fine.
Yeah. 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 He kills people and turns them into money.
This homicidal predator in Toronto.
Yeah.
How about that? But actually, he's in a video game. Or is he, kind of thing?
Yeah.
So
I loved this so much.
I wonder if I would like this as much if I didn't have like the movie as reference, because the movie was so shocking, you know, when like we saw it when mm-hmm. we were little lads, prepubescent and whatnot. Yeah. And it was just like a movie that we'd like never seen before. And unlike anything we've seen.
Yeah.
And so when you read this, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that bit. I'm like, oh, that's Audrey Plaza's character or whatever.
I was trying to remember who Audrey Plaza's character was. Is she Julie?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so like you're reading this and you think it's just kind of a normal slice of life kind of thing. And then there's just this, like huge punches and shit, yeah. All these like video game aspects and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of like, I'm like, does he have superpowers, you know? It's a book that you don't have to think critically or literally on, you know?
Yeah. I think he has a lot of fun with the medium.
Oh yeah.
Brian Lee O'Malley. Like there's so many aspects of this where I'm like, this is so fun.
I'm like, this dude loves comics.
Yeah. He really loves comics. Can tell. Like, and I think just that kind of energy really feeds through. I think it would be a bit of a different experience if I hadn't seen the movie, but regardless, like, I expected to like read this like 50 pages at a time or whatever, like I normally do.
Yeah.
I read it like pretty much all in one sitting.
Same. And they're all like that.
Yeah. And I was like, this is just so fun to read for some, like just dialogue. Like
pacing's insane.
Yeah. He's just like, he creates these like very likable characters like immediately, mm-hmm. you know, and they all have like their little moments where I'm like, that's funny. Like that part where Wallace like just bashes into the room and he's like, guess who's drunk? I'm like, that's funny. That's a funny way to enter a room, you know? So, like, he's just really good at, like, creating a lot of those characters. So,
yeah, I rewatched the movie last night and
it bangs.
I like it's a great movie.
It really is.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, I like all the changes that they did, mm-hmm. but it's cool because, like, that movie is so unique. And then, like, that has, like, all the important bits. But if you want more context and want more content, mm-hmm. you can just read these and there's tons of like character development and like backup material and stuff like that, and just like these like little side memories and stuff mm-hmm. that you can get into, and it's super satisfying if you like love the movie, you know.
Yeah, it's cool. And just like the making of the movie, it seems very interesting because like anytime you see like a Michael Cera interview or something where he talks about it, he's like, yeah, everyone was like my best friend at the time. And then it was like the movie's done and we were like, can we still hang out? You know, like stuff like stuff like that. So everybody seemed to have a good time making it. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's just a very special property that just like somehow worked out.
Yeah, because like I saw when I figured out this is a comic, I'm like, oh, that's cool. That makes sense. That movie was like that. And I'm like, I get the movie and this will just be
part of that.
Just the source material or whatever. And so I really didn't expect to love like the book as much as I did. And honestly, probably more than the movie now.
It's like a crazy, like good.
But I can't really like sell anyone on it, I don't think, as to why this is better.
I don't know if I could either. It's just like, it's just nice to read.
Yeah, you just get into it.
I feel nice. I like the characters. You know, I'm kind of rooting for everybody.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, it is a good review to be like, I had as much fun like reading this as I did watching the movie.
Right.
So good stuff.
Anyway, let's get into it though.
Yeah. So Daniel, chapter one.
Yeah. Names of chapters, which I always appreciate.
Yeah. I always like that too. What is this one called? I didn't write them down, but dating a high schooler. So yeah, Scott Pilgrim, he's talking to his friends about how he is 23 and he's dating a 17-year-old high schooler.
Totally
bit weird.
Totally cool.
They haven't done anything romantically other than like hold hands. And he tells him how he met her, which was on the bus and not at a school, which is good. This has always been a weird part of it, right?
Yeah, it's a little uncomfy.
Like it was weird back then, but it feels even weirder now.
I think back then it didn't really faze me that much.
Yeah, back then, I mean, maybe it's because we weren't like older than 23 now.
Yeah, that time we were like 14 or something, or I was 14, you were like 13. So I'm like,
okay, whatever.
I'm like, you I know. Guess it's weird.
Yeah. But now it's like, and then what's weird is that it'll continue to get probably even more weird, you know?
Yeah.
Like if we go back to it in like 15 years or whatever, it'll be like, damn, he's a fucking pedophile.
When I was like still dating, I wouldn't date anyone like 2 years younger.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck that.
Yeah.
These are children.
It's insane. So Scott tells his roommate Wallace about it too. And then the next day, Scott brings his girlfriend Knives to his band's jam session for Sex Bob-omb. And Knives like totally loves it. And Daniel, I normally hate music in comics, but this book does it right.
This is absolutely the exception.
This is absolutely the best way to do it. Like I like there's you can see the lyrics there, which is cool that he even has like a full song there. But he has the chords that line up with the actual like bars of the song.
The chord progression. Chord diagrams.
And like there's like lightning coming out of the instruments and shit, which like just some comic book fun. And then he shows like the chord charts or whatever.
Yeah.
Of like each of the chords that they're
and
playing.
And the time signature, dude.
The time signature too. Yeah. So he really like fleshed this out and I was like, this is just fun.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see everybody like rocking too. I wonder why he decided to make Scott like the bassist. And I think it's because he didn't want him to like necessarily be like the main character of like the band or whatever. Cause I think that's very much Steven cause he's singing and playing guitar.
Yeah.
Which are typically like the things people care about the most.
The front men.
But I think it's cool that he played bass. I think it's one of the reasons why I played bass at some point.
You know? I feel like I would like Scott Pilgrim less if he was a singer and guitar player.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
It's just like
there's something so humble and thankless about being a bass player. You know?
100%. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, the way he's used in this and like the movie is very much like present.
Yeah, he is, which is cool.
In the sound, which is important. But yeah, I think it's just like, I think we'd hate him more if he was like
he's not the
this
type of,
cocky frontman.
Yeah, if he was like a rock guy frontman dating a high schooler, that's not very cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not cool he's dating a high schooler in general, but yeah. And so later, Scott's sister, Stacy, calls Scott and understandably gives him shit about dating a high schooler. And later, he goes on a date with Knives and they go like get pizza and they walk around for a bit. And then that night, Scott Pilgrim has a dream about a girl roller skating in like a dystopian desert or whatever. And Brian Lee O'Malley is so good at dialogue. Like they're just on a date. They're doing all this stuff. Knives is telling Scott about her day or whatever. And I'm just invested.
Yeah.
You know, I like seeing them go to like Goodwill or whatever and just like talk. And it's just fun. It's fun to binge read the whole fucking thing, you know?
Definitely.
I like the line where Knives says that she's never kissed a guy, and then Scott's like, yeah, me neither. That made me chuckle.
A classic.
A good line.
The only thing is, like, I kind of had, like, a little bit of trouble differentiating some of, like, the B characters, you know, like Julie, and then just kind of some of the people at, like, this party that he goes to.
I still don't know what Julie does.
So Julie was...
Does she work at the library or something?
She has the glasses. Mm-hmm. She works at the record store and the coffee shop.
Okay, okay.
And is like friends with like his sister.
Yeah, which is Stacy.
Stacy.
Yeah. It does take a second to just know names, but I think he does a good job, because he will sometimes introduce people with like little captions.
Yeah.
And then it'll be like Stacy Pilgrim, you know, Scott's sister. And then it'll have like a fun little
Which
tidbit.
They also do in the movie, which is dope.
But that does help.
Yeah.
They should do that in every movie, because I'll never know.
Yeah, I can name a couple movies where I need that.
Yeah, exactly. And so chapter 2, Do You Know Her? Scott later sees that girl in his dream at the library while with Knives, which kind of distracts him for a bit. It distracts him into his next band practice.
So something that I really, really appreciated in like the movie is like they had these like little like low budget like settings of like the places in this book,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy to see, right?
Oh yeah, they're like it. Pretty
like reenact. his apartment is exactly the same, like the way it looks on the outside and shit,
totally.
And like even like the way these stairs come down and like where she's like standing and shit, mm-hmm. like everything is like the same. I'm like, are these based off of real places or did they make all this shit? I don't know.
In the back matter, he shared some of the references that he used, and a lot of these were like places nearby, and the library like specifically was one of them.
Okay.
So they might have filmed at the library, or maybe they reconstructed it. Probably wouldn't be that expensive.
Yeah,
I don't know what the budget was for that movie, but it seems fairly
60 million
high. Really?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah,
so yeah, they probably went to the library and they're like, yeah, we need to film here for like an hour, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like pretty, I noticed that about the apartment too, like pretty one for one. It's just like a room and there's like one other room, you know?
Yeah. I'm like, how do they find an apartment that's exactly the same?
Yeah, exactly.
The kitchen's over there.
Although like the front of the apartment is not obvious, that like the front of the apartment is referenced, and then he just kind of drew up like a random floor plan.
Yeah.
And so that is something that they constructed from something that's not a real place.
That
so,
makes sense.
So that's pretty impressive.
Right.
So yeah, he sees... You know what? He sees the girl in his dreams and he's all distracted, and he's distracted in his next band practice. And then later he has another dream where she shows up, and the band after that goes to a party, and he sees the girl there at the party.
I kept going back to like the movie's like IMDb page, because I'm like, okay, who's this guy talking? Who are they in the movie? And like, if I like remembered them or something, you know?
Okay.
It's because he doesn't have that much differentiation with like faces and stuff.
It'd
just
yeah.
be like the hair, or if they have glasses and stuff.
He does have a good sense of style though.
Yeah. Yeah.
He does like give, the drummer girl, what's her name? Kim or something.
Kim.
Yeah.
Like Kim Pine.
Kim Pine. Yes, of course. She does have like her own.
I'm pretty, I'm like 1,000 pages into this right now. So,
okay. It's Steven.
Huh?
What's Steven's last name? Lead singer.
Like, it's like Shilling or something.
Yeah, it's like Sibling, something like that. But anyway, so were there other like famous people that weren't as like prominent in the movie?
So you remember the dude with glasses?
Yeah, his name's like Cousseau or something.
Yeah, he was in like New Girl. He like dated Jess for a little while, and he was like the bass player.
Justin Long.
No, other one.
He was the bass player in New Girl?
Yeah, he there's only like one scene where he plays bass. But
I looked up bass player New Girl and it's not giving me what I want. What should I look up?
There's like a scene where he's like bench pressing, and then like Jess goes to like give him like a kiss while he's bench pressing, and so he drops the weight.
Mm-hmm,
that guy. He's
in this movie.
Yeah, he plays this guy with the glasses at the party.
I bet you just had IMDb up the whole time.
No, a lot of them I actually recognize. Okay.
Oh yeah, that is him. Oh yeah.
And then
wow, that's crazy.
It was crazy seeing Wallace Wells, like his like gay roommate.
Yeah.
Because he's like he's Succession.
Yeah.
And
it's not Kieran.
Yeah, it is Kieran Culkin.
It is Kieran?
Yeah.
Macaulay is the other one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well, there's like seven of them.
There's really two.
Only like four of them act.
four?
That's a lot.
Yeah, there's
wow.
Yeah, there's like, it's like Kellen or something.
Do they all have a K? Like the Kardashians?
No. Macaulay starts with an M.
I know, but they have a they have a K sound in there.
I suppose. But no, there's another one who's been in like a couple movies.
Okay.
He was the third one, the lesser known one. He was in like a Black Mirror episode in like the new season.
The third one.
The third, like, McCulkin.
Oh, okay.
Or Culkin brother.
I thought we were still talking about Scott Pilgrim. I'm like,
No. But anyway.
Yeah, that dude, he was like a pretty prominent character in New Girl.
Yeah, he was there for like a season or something, too. And then comes back. When?
When there's like a campfire and they're celebrating being single.
That's true, yeah. And they're singing a song, it's not him singing.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not him playing guitar
either. So I remember him as like the bass player, right? But like earlier in the season when he first shows up, he says something about like bass being useless and like he like... Because you can't hear it or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, isn't he a fucking bass player? But like, I think they like kind of retcon that later.
Yeah.
And so now it's just like this pothole thing. Mm. But anyway.
You heard it here first.
But we see Ramona, the girl in his dreams.
We do see Ramona. We also see an R word get dropped.
There's a couple of those.
In this trade or just like further on?
In totality.
Yeah. I mean, it's a reflection of the time or whatever. But yeah, we see like just them walking and then Kim calls him the R word. I'm like, ooh, there we go. Anyway, chapter 3, Scott completely fumbles the bag really hard with Ramona when he goes up to talk to her. And he asks if he's dreaming at one point. And then he excuses himself and then proceeds to stalk her the entire party from a distance.
I think that's hella Riz, dude.
That is pretty Riz.
Am I dreaming? Like,
and like after he says that, like just what happens with Ramona's eyes, because like her pupils are normally so big to make it all cute, and then she's like wincing in like awkwardness.
Yeah.
And I think he fucking nailed this whole like interaction.
Yeah.
To like make it as funny as possible, and like I also feel for Scott because it sucks like just meeting someone at a party.
Yeah.
Like it's just a fucked up situation.
I think that's probably the most relaxed situation in order to meet somebody.
It is, but it still like sucks.
I think it's here's a worse situation.
Especially if it's
trying
like,
to hit on someone while they're at work or something.
That is worse.
Or at the gym.
But imagine seeing someone at a party and you're like, I want to be friends with that person. And then you go up to talk to them and then it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
Like
you tried though.
Like if you're just casually like trying to talk to someone, then whatever. There's no goal. But then when there's a goal in mind, you're like, I want this person to like me, then like that's tough.
I'm such a narcissist to where like if they don't like me, I'm like, they obviously have a problem.
That's fair.
You know?
Yeah, you are like that.
In the first issue, I'm sorry to backtrack, but there's like a little arrow here for when he's like pointing, he's like telling Wallace to leave.
Oh yeah.
That's funny. He's like, leave, be gone.
And there's like just a little arrow.
It's like in case his arm wasn't much of an indicator he's trying to go.
He added the arrow and was like, he's like, you know what, that works.
So it doesn't look like it's like pointing at him, I guess. I don't know.
So when Ramona leaves, Scott asks his friend Kumo, or the guy from New Girl, about her, finding out that her name is Ramona, and Julie invited her. But then Julie forbids Scott from talking to her since she might not be single.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Scott tells Wallace, who's super drunk, about Ramona. And then Scott gets the idea to order a book off of the small online bookstore, Amazon.ca. CDs. Huh?
He orders CDs.
Oh, CDs. Thank you.
Yep.
Off the small online bookstore, Amazon. So that Ramona, who works there, would deliver it to him. So he's forcing an interaction, which is nice. Girls love that. And then he also sees an email from Matthew Patel saying that him and Scott will fight soon. And Scott just deletes it.
I don't think I really knew what Amazon was at that time.
Like in the movie when they said Amazon or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it started as like a bookstore, right?
Right.
Yeah. But like at that time, if they said Amazon, I'd be like, I guess it's an online bookstore. I don't know.
I wonder when I started ordering shit on Amazon.
Yeah. It's like always been a part of us.
Because Prime hasn't like always been a thing.
Prime hasn't always been a thing. And then when it was a thing.
That was when like they got like everything, you know?
Yeah. They had to like have everything available and have it available in like Prime 2-day shipping or whatever. But it's just funny that that's
Amazon Prime apparently started in 2005, so I guess it was
really well it must have been different, because it's not like you're spending $100 to get like books to you faster, you know?
Yeah. Anyway,
but yeah, it's just interesting because at the time it was clearly different. And so I also love the idea of coordinating a fight like via email. Mm. Because like Matthew tells like, you don't know me, but we're going to fight soon.
Yeah.
And so Scott and Knives go on a date, and then Steven tells him that the band booked a gig on Wednesday. And then the next morning, Scott has a dream about Ramona again, but then he opens the door right as Ramona's about to deliver the CD to him. He just like somehow knew with his dream.
Yeah.
And I think it's really clever how the first date we see with Scott and Knives, he's like, Scott is like way more engaged and like kind of asking questions and stuff. But then in this one, since he's kind of got his mind fixated on Ramona, he's just kind of like phoning it in and being like, oh yeah, I tell you, you know, just like saying like random things like that as like a response. And I thought that was clever because he's clearly got his mind somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Knives has her first kiss with Scott, which makes it, you know, just like a whole lot worse probably.
Very, very awkward.
So chapter 4, Ramona needs Scott to sign for the CD, and he somehow manages to turn that into a date, despite how awkward he is.
She's like, Scott Pilgrim? He's like, you want to go out sometime?
She's like that.
She's like, no.
No, just sign, please.
And so he had to like remind her that they've like met before.
And then he was like, actually, don't remember, because that was awkward too. He's like, got a lot against him. And he, you know, maybe it is Riz. You know, that. So
he's like, there's a lot of reasons to go out with me.
So that night, Ramona and Scott walk around and they get to know each other a little bit, but it starts to snow. So they go to Ramona's house. And I like that Scott is an X-Men fan. He's got the little patch on his coat, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
And I like this little double page of like Ramona and Scott like leaping towards her door, like in the snowstorm.
Yeah, this door just like appears.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And like to Scott, like the only thing that matters is that they're like holding hands and like going somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of cute. So Scott is so cold that Ramona makes tea and then goes to get Scott a blanket. And then Scott accidentally catches Ramona changing, and then they start making out, but there's no sex, but they do sleep together, which is cool. And I like one of the things that made me chuckle is when they kiss for the first time, there's like a little picture of Scott like playing the bass as like a, as like a congratulatory thing.
It says like, nice one, Scott. Now turn the page.
Yeah. I just like that addition a lot. And then there's like a little bit of Riz there because Scott's like, were you going to use that blanket to like cover me? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, maybe we could just like go under that like right now.
Yeah.
And he's just got like the Riz face on, you know?
Like the light skin face, you know?
Yeah, he just got the light skin face.
You know, Ramona's got some Riz too, you know?
She does.
Because she's like, dude, I'm changing. And then he's like, sorry, I'm just cold. And he like covers his eyes. And then she's like,
let me hug you.
Here, does this help?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, what is that? And then she's just like right next to him.
I also like
the Riz. Killer move.
I also like the Riz where Scott Pilgrim's like, I don't know if I want to have sex. And then Ramona's like, I changed my mind. But that doesn't mean that I don't want to have sex later if I want to.
You
know?
I reserve the right to change my mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Of the multiple teas that she has available, what tea would you get?
Okay, let me read them back. So she has blueberry, raspberry, ginseng, sleepy time, green tea with lemon, and honey, liver disaster. What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
I want that one.
I think it's just whiskey.
Ginger with honey, ginger without honey, vanilla, almond, white truffle, coconut, chamomile, blueberry, chamomile, decaf, vanilla, walnut, constant, comet, and Earl Grey. Yeah, I got to have liver disaster, I think. Is that a real thing? I'm going to look that up.
I don't think I've ever had chamomile, but blueberry chamomile sounds pretty good.
I feel like, no, chamomile is good. You haven't had chamomile?
I don't think so. I don't have tea often. And
oh my God, it is a thing.
White truffle coconut, that also sounds really good.
Oh, it's just green tea.
Liver disaster?
Green tea can also cause herbal-induced liver injury, an uncommon but potentially severe issue. Only 100 cases documented worldwide.
So it's not like an actual like tea bag you can buy?
It's just green tea, I think.
Ah, weird.
Whoa. Anyway.
Well, she did say green tea with lemon and honey, liver disaster. Maybe that was like a comment on the types of green teas she's available. Dude, I'm
learning so much.
This is educational.
Yeah, I like this. The next day, you know, Scott leaves and he invites Ramona to go to his band's gig. And he later gets a letter in the mail from Matthew Patel again, but about fighting, which Scott throws out. And he's like, you know, I just don't know if I want what this dude's selling, you know?
I love, I have like a lot of favorite lines in this movie that I'll bring up, but one of them's like, she's like, you have a band? He's like, yeah, we're terrible. Please say you'll come.
Yeah, I do like that one.
I'm
a lot.
I feel like I've thought that in my head when trying to get people to come see my bands in like high school.
That's just like the perfect way because you eliminate any pressure of having to be good and then you still get people to come.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
It's not a great sales pitch, but
you know. I mean, I think it works. With people you know, that's a great line.
Yeah.
Yes, we're terrible. Please say you'll come. So then chapter 5, Scott can't bring himself to break up with Knives for Ramona. So Knives ends up showing up to the gig and kisses Scott right in front of Ramona, which is a big yikes, but it's deserved because he doesn't just break it off with Ramona or with Knives.
Mm-hmm.
The band before Sex Bob-omb is Crash and the Boys, which is a big competition because the drummer's also a girl, but she's a little girl. So it's like kind of cool.
Yeah, she's like 7 or something.
And they play songs for like half a second. And then at the end, they knock the whole crowd unconscious with their song. And it's funny because their songs are pretty much just like one panel, you know, and like the next panel is just like done. Like there's no more electricity or anything going on. So I think that's funny.
Yeah, Wallace is like, it's not a race.
Yeah, I like the shit talking there, too.
Yeah.
I also like that Wallace seduces Stacy's friend that she brought.
A
dude. I just like that bit. And so when
Wallace has the most riz, probably.
Wallace does, dude. Even in the movie, I'm like, this guy's cool.
Wallace gets ass, dude.
He's cool and confident and he gets ass.
There's a couple like little like fourth wall breaking like things that you'll see in here. Like there was like a comment earlier where someone's like, they say that they'll talk about something at a later volume.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. I did notice that, but I didn't think.
It's very literal. Like, it comes up, like, a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
There's a cool example.
Brian Lee O'Malley's, like, way ahead.
In, like, volume 3, they meet someone who, like, has, like, a recording studio.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, can you please record us? You saw us play in volume 3, right? And I'm like, and I just, like, eat that shit up because it's so funny, dumb, but it's funny.
Yeah. So when Sex Bob-omb goes to play, Matthew Patel crashes through the ceiling to fight Scott, which Scott counters because he's the best fighter in the province, apparently. And like everybody knows that. And I just love that.
Yeah.
Scott's just been like a sleeper fighter like this whole time.
Yeah.
And like people are like, damn, he's going to fight Scott. He's like really good at fighting.
He's got these like electric charge punches and kicks.
He does like an uppercut and then does like a 64 hit combo in the air and punches him down. And like I just really appreciate the action because it's so insanely juxtaposed to like the rest of this book, which is like a slice of life kind of book.
Yeah.
And like now the action's like so over the top and arcadey that it just kind of like works.
I wonder how this came out, if it like came out in issues. I think it came out as a volume,
I think it must have. Yeah,
so it's not like you just picked up the first issue and then nothing very like actiony happens.
Yeah, I think it'd have to be a whole volume.
Other casting thing, this guy Patel, he was also New Girl. He was the dude that was like a part of the arranged marriage with CeCe.
Oh yeah.
And then he runs off with Taylor Swift at their wedding.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
When I saw that, I lost my mind because he's like not recognizable at all.
That's funny. He has like a bunch of eyeliner and shit on. In the movie, right?
And like the hair and whatnot.
And the hair. Looks like a pirate.
And also I watched New Girl like after watching this. So it's like, didn't make the connection. So it's just. Like,
oh, yeah.
Based off of how much TV I watched, like I'm like, everyone's in this movie.
So who else is in Scott Pilgrim that's a New Girl? Is it just those two? Like, was there any appearance from like Aubrey Plaza or something in New Girl?
No.
I think that's the only one, right? Was Taylor Swift and Scott Pilgrim at all?
Was Brie Larson? Was Brandon Routh?
No. I think those are the only two, which is very strange that it's like those two.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Which isn't that weird, but it's weird that it happened twice, you know?
So Patel explains that he sent the email and the letter and that he is Ramona's first evil ex. They only dated in 7th grade for like a week or something, and they only kissed once, but it counts. So he has to fight her.
So in the movie, they have like, when they have these like flashbacks, it'll just be these panels. They'll just show.
That's
and
cool.
They'll like animate them.
That's fun.
I was like,
was it like these like childlike photo like drawings as well?
Yeah, it was like this artwork.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is sweet.
I really like what he does here because it's like like present Ramona kind of like leaning over her like old childlike drawings or whatever, or at least panels that look like child drawings.
Yeah.
And I think that's really effective and it just kind of like makes it fun.
Yeah, definitely. I think if it was a different book, all these like tangents would be like super annoying to me, but like they're so fun.
Just the writing's so charming.
Yeah.
So fun.
And honestly, like, it feels like even the main story is as long as the tangents. So it just kind of like keeps jumping around.
Yeah.
I think this book might be made for people with like ADD or something.
And then it's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the fight breaks out into song and all of Scott's friends join to help him defeat Patel and his like vampire girls that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And then Patel gets defeated and he bursts into coins. And I love how everyone's like, what's going on? And then like a couple panels later, they're all like synchronized in like pose and they're like kind of helping Scott.
Yeah.
And I just love how absurd it is. It's just so fun to see like how it escalates from like a 64 hit combo to like everybody joining in. And then there's like vampire girls. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And then he bursts into coins. Or like they all have like a big fire shield that they all need to do together. And everybody's so like invested. I just love it. It's just absurd. And then so after Scott and Ramona leave together, and Ramona explains that if they date, Scott will have to defeat her 7 evil exes, including the most recent one, which is Gideon. And she's a little freaked out about Gideon. And then Scott's a little freaked out about that, too. So,
yeah.
And then that's the book. My question is, did Knives see them leave or was she knocked out in the crowd? Because that's a little weird.
In the movie, she's knocked out.
She might have been knocked out here.
Because she just kind of got excited from... Was she in the dance number?
She was not in the dance number, I don't think. But I'm trying to see if maybe she was knocked out with the rest of the people.
Why did she...
Because she was in the crowd with...
What was she wearing?
She was wearing like a green sweater or something.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Okay.
I think she was in the crowd.
I see her and then I don't think we see her again to like kind of explain what happened to her.
Yeah. Also, when they kiss while they're in the train or the bus or wherever they're on, I like that there's like a studio audience lettering when they kiss. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, ooh, and then they like points off panel to the studio audience.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. But yeah, that is Scott Pilgrim. So let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. It feels like we barely got anything, you know,
and this is
like
the first act volume of the movie.
Yeah.
So
if that part of the first act, you know. Yeah.
So we get like an afterword from Mr. Blom himself, Brian Lee O'Malley. Apparently Scott Pilgrim Daniel is plagiarized because he went to go see a band in the 90s and they had a song called Scott Pilgrim and he just used that name.
Oh, that's on the soundtrack.
Scott Pilgrim is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's well, like he licensed it.
I think it's in the movie, maybe.
Yeah, so he went...
That would be like one of my questions. I'm like, well, how did you come up with the name Scott Pilgrim? Like,
yeah.
Why is that important?
It's a sick name.
Yeah, because they have a couple songs on the soundtrack. I was listening to it today.
Yeah, the band name is Plumtree. They broke up.
Good name.
Yeah, they broke up, but they had a song called Scott Pilgrim that had a searing guitar, apparently. So, and then after that, he kind of talks about what he did kind of like in the 2000s, trying to get into comics. Scott Pilgrim was originally Scott Pilgrim's Precious Little Life that he published in like black and white and stuff, which is what this is called. But it existed in like a different form before.
Yeah. The second volume is called Versus the World.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. So
which
yeah,
he's probably the best of the subtitles of the volumes.
Yeah, I think so. And then we see like pretty much every character like designs and like the writing process for them. So he really like bases a lot of these characters off of people in his life. Like he did at one point live in an apartment with one bed only that he platonically slept in a bed with. And that was like mm-hmm. Wallace, you know?
Yeah.
Or like Ramona was like somebody that he had like seen in his life before. It was inspired by some girl I saw dancing in a nightclub probably in the late 80s.
Wow. He hung on to that for a while.
Yeah, he did. And then Wallace's personality was pretty clearly based on my roommate at the time, Chris, who was my sounding board for the many terrible ideas that eventually became this book. Chris doesn't look like Wallace. I have no idea who Wallace is supposed to look like. He just kind of looked that way from the beginning. And so, yeah, just kind of like that, but for a bunch of the characters. It's really interesting because a lot of this is like based on his life. And he goes into that when he goes into like some of the photo reference and stuff.
Yeah.
Where he just kind of like walks around his town and like takes pictures of like random houses that he sees. And that becomes like Scott's old house or like the library.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you see photo reference of the library in like that exact staircase that you were talking about.
Okay. So, yeah.
Was it that exact staircase in the movie or is
it? I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm not that crazy.
Yeah. Or like even like the Goodwill that they went to in the beginning, he just like walked to a Goodwill, took some pictures of it and used that. So he was pretty committed to just like walking around and.
Yeah. They might've had like this house in the movie too, because it looks the same.
That'd be cool.
Also, like, I know we talked about like his art being great, but it's just like something about like a stylized artist that I think just like I love it's a little really bit appealing. More.
Yeah. Yeah.
Than like, I don't know what would be in like an art book or something.
Like a anatomically correct.
Like the proportions are like, may not be like correct, but at least they're like consistent with each other.
Yeah. And it's charming in like a way that like cartoons are, like, even though the designs are like simple, I guess you could say, he finds a lot of really creative ways to differentiate them with like hairstyles or like what their eyes do, mm-hmm. you know, or just like a little bit of facial hair or something and like their style. And like, they all feel pretty distinct and they're just like fun to look at. You know, especially when they're, you know, he has a pretty big like anime influence and manga influence, which you can kind of see reflected in this. But
yeah,
but I just think it's fun.
Definitely.
So
and then there's the pitch at the end.
There's the pitch. And then we also see the first page of Scott Pilgrim's Precious Little Life, which is the initial incarnation of this.
I thought like this book was in black and white at one point.
It was.
I
think when it first got printed, it was black and white.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
Sweet.
Good ass book. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
I don't know if this volume like gets to it, but he talks about how much he likes garlic bread.
No.
Okay. Well, I'd give it a whole loaf of garlic bread.
Ooh.
Top tier stuff, you know?
Nice.
Yeah. It's like that great line where he's like, I love garlic bread. I can eat it for every meal. Or I can just eat it consistently all day without stopping. And then she's like, well, then you get fat. He's like, no, why would I get fat? She's like, bread makes you fat. He's like, bread makes you fat? And I think that's like one of my favorite lines in like the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I equally like garlic bread.
Yeah. I am very passionate about garlic bread. That's a good rating.
Do you give it a Rickenbacker Cherry Red Bass? Which is what he has.
Is that a Canadian thing?
No, it's an international brand of guitar.
Something Canadian I can give it.
A
lot of Canadian bacon.
Liver failure tea.
Oh, dude, give it the biggest liver failure tea.
Is it liver damage? I can't remember.
Liver.
Would you look up?
Oh, I don't have it up anymore. Yeah, whatever tea that was, a Trenta from Starbucks. Okay, I don't write Trentas often, but this book is definitely that. I had so much fun reading it.
You ever get the medicine ball tea from like Starbucks?
No.
Order it once, especially now since like you're like getting a little sick.
My voice is a little fucked.
I used to get it like when I was at work and was like a little sick. I feel like you would actually like heal me a little bit.
If I go to them and I say that, do they know what I mean?
Yeah, like a grande or venti like medicine ball. If they don't know what you mean, then have a backup plan.
Okay. All right. I like that. I'm going to do that tomorrow.
But it's very good. It's like a bunch of different teas and there's like honey in it and it's like warm. It's just really good on the throat.
Okay.
Highly recommend. I haven't gotten it in a couple of years.
That's good shit. Okay, I like that. So let's go into the pull list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
This is the segment where we talk about what we picked up in the comic book shop in the week. Because, Dana, we're a bit of hypocrites. Sometimes people don't realize. But we don't just trade weight. We just pick up comics all the time.
Yeah.
So what did you pick up this week?
We got Batman 139.
Yup.
We got Transformers number 2. Mm-hmm. I need to read Birds of Prey number 1 and decide if I'm going to get 2 and 3 because 3 came out this week.
Ooh, yeah, it's getting away from you fast.
I also need to read Gods because number 2 came out today.
Yes.
So, got a bit of homework.
I did not pick up Gods or Birds of Prey.
Did you pick out the first one?
Birds of Prey?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think so.
I did pick up Batman Transformers. I picked up Phantom Road, number 6.
Oh, is that still going?
Yeah, you haven't even started it. Don't pick it up.
Okay, no, I'm on like issue 3.
Okay, all right, fair. You can write it down then.
Don't pick it up. Get the fuck out of my face.
I also picked
remember
up,
we were talking about it because like you
oh
were like,
yeah, the salt, and I was like, did you understand that? Because I didn't.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, dumbass, it's easy.
Okay, fair enough. I also picked up Creepshow number 3.
Did you get one or two?
I got two because Michael Walsh was on it. I got number 3 because Zoe Thorogood is on this one.
Whoa, cool.
And she's the beginning story.
I'll keep buying these as long as they got the talent for
it. Yeah, if they got good people on it. I'm not buying it for Creepshow. I don't even know where it is, you know? So
I wonder if they're going to, how long they're going to go for. Like, maybe they could just have a trade worth.
They'd probably just go to 5 and be like, how's
like,
this?
They had him like 2 years ago, apparently. Like, there's
yeah,
like
I don't remember that
different volume. Yeah, neither do I.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because it feels like you're buying like old horror comics. Like,
yeah,
like the trade dress of it feels like that,
and which so is sweet.
I enjoy that aspect of the marketing of it, and I really like Zoe Thorogood's story in this one.
Sick. I'll have to get that too.
It's very not typical for like a horror book, you know.
Okay,
so that's cool. And then I read Gone this week,
yeah,
which is the Jock Distillery book
mm-hmm.
in prestige format, and it's good.
Aren't they all in prestige format?
Yeah, I think they are. I'm not sure, though. I think they maybe gave them the choice, but this one definitely
is.
If
they're all prestige format, then none of them are prestige format.
Ooh.
I'm just kidding. But
I like this one. I have a better understanding of what the fuck it is.
Was like the hype in your mind, did it meet the hype, you know?
I think the hype for me is the art.
But so it was
good. Story-wise, I thought it was going to be like a little bit different. Uh-huh. But I like what it is. And basically, like, the premise, if I were to, like, give it to you without really spoiling anything, it's just, like, the, you know, the idea of the book is that there's a girl who was trying to thieve some stuff from, like, this really big spaceship so that she could provide for her family. But she doesn't get off the ship.
Okay, that was the fucking teaser.
Anything else? It was. But also, it's just, like, part of, like, her trying to escape. Well, it's how she gets there. Do you see that in the preview thing?
How she gets to the ship,
like why she's alone on that ship without other people, because there are other people initially and she had to like keep herself there and sacrifice like her being stranded there to like let her other like people leave. There's like a situation where like that happens.
I don't remember that, but
so that happens. I'm like, oh no. And the rest of the book is just like her trying to like not get found in this like huge ass ship, which I assume is like the size of like a city or something, because she's able to stay away for a long time. So I think I like that aspect of it because she like knows the ship better than like most of the people on board, you know, so she's able to like navigate her way around.
Yeah.
So I like that. But there's also, Daniel, other people that aren't supposed to be on that ship that she runs into.
Oh, cool.
And it's like, ooh, what happened here?
Big spoiler.
There's probably
stop talking. Some shady already. Stuff.
Are you gonna read it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I just haven't.
I like it. Jock's good in big pages.
Yeah.
Just like he was with Batman.
Love a big page.
Big Jock. I also read Big Game.
Four or five? Oh, so it's done.
It ends like four, sorry. Five. The last issue comes out next week, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still haven't read 3 or 4.
It's good.
Cool.
There's more books being introduced from him. And I'm like, wow, they managed to do that one.
like being roped in?
Yeah.
I'm like, new books? Yeah.
No.
I read another manga one-shot.
Okay.
Probably about the same size as that one. Also,
how big is this one, you think?
It's like 200 pages.
Oh, it's numbered. Yeah, 200.
Also by Tetsuki Fujimoto. It's called Look Back. And it's
I never look back. I only look forward.
It's a book about like a manga artist. It's like this kid in like middle school who's part of like the school paper and does like a little 4-panel manga.
Okay.
And then there's like also like another manga artist, but it's like a shutting kind of kid that like is like homeschooled, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so this person's like really good at like backgrounds and stuff like that. And the artwork quality is just kind of better. And so like the first girl is like just super competitive and just like trains really hard and draws like all day to try and get as good as the other one. And then they end up working together and doing like a manga and shit like that.
Bit meta.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, I think
they're like, let's make a book called Look Back.
Yeah. Cause you know, they're always looking down at their art or whatever.
Yeah. Is it interesting?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's good. I liked it. I think it was hyped up for me that it was better than that, which I don't think, but it is like really cool. It's, I'll kind of like spoil it, but like, the homeschooled one goes like wants to get better and goes to like art school.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's like this like killer or whatever that comes into the school with like an axe and starts like killing people. And so that girl ends up dying.
Wow.
And so the other artist was like kind of blaming herself about like her going to art school because she feels like she kind of pushed her away from it while working on like the manga that they're working on. And so there's kind of like a bunch of themes of like grief and stuff like that. And there's like potentially like this time travel thing. It's kind of like, I don't know if it's like a time travel thing or she's just thinking of what would happen if they had never met and she somehow was able to stop the killer from from going to the school and stuff like that.
That's a heavy turn.
Yeah, no, it's very heavy. And so
an axe is an interesting choice too.
Yeah, because like guns are like illegal in like Japan. Like you can't like have a gun.
That's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, it was good. I think people would like it. I think I kind of liked more of like the behind the scenes aspect of like being like a manga artist and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, you want to talk about the Scott Pilgrim movie a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it like a couple times in like last like 3 years.
So really? Okay.
I think the most recent time was probably like 5 or 6 months ago. So
okay. I watched it yesterday, so it's pretty fresh.
Yeah.
And I don't think I have seen it since I saw it like in theaters or whatever.
I saw it like as a drunk night with my friends. We were just drinking and watching that movie. So good.
Very good.
And it's also weird to be like, oh my God, that's Anna Kendrick.
Yeah.
Or like, oh my God, it's Chris Evans. Dude, yeah. My favorite shot in this movie it was when he just like gets on a Chris Evans character like gets on a skateboard and he's just like looking down at the ground and like the shot is just him looking down at the ground and he's just like moving across the frame.
Oh, when
and
he's like grinding or whatever. No, when he gets on
the floor,
he's like going to his spot.
Yeah,
and like
it's so funny to me.
I'll also kind of talk about some of the other volumes.
Yeah, well, yeah. First off, I have a question for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Does he jump out the window?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was taken by surprise by that because I forgot about that.
That's a hilarious scene in the movie.
That's a great addition, yeah.
Yeah, they did that a lot, apparently, when they were filming. I want a back matter for the movie.
I need to get that DVD and look at the special features and shit,
dude.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, the volume two, that's when like the Chris Evans dude comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it feels like the second volume is mostly like new stuff, like tons of like background and whatnot. They dropped that like Scott dated Kim, like the drummer in high school, and they actually go to that bit when they're dating for a little bit.
Oh, really?
And it's honestly like kind of like sad because he had to like move and stuff like that.
Ooh.
And so,
well, they mentioned that in the movie, right? But it's not like elaborated on too much.
Yeah, it's just like so. They always said like Scott even did Kim once. They're like we don't talk about it. Okay. Or like we try to forget it or whatever. And so it just kind of. It's like these little moments in the movie that are expanded upon, but like
they were just fleshed out more in the book.
Yeah, fleshed out much more in the book, and is really cool because like you see that without the book, and you're like, oh, I guess that was just a very brief thing.
I guess they're chill,
and then but you know, like there's just so much more to it.
So does Kim have feeling still?
No. She's like way past it.
Okay, cool. How does second boyfriend die? Is it doing a sick grind as well? Or
yeah.
Okay, cool.
So they're pretty good with that. Oh, and in the back of volume three, in the back matter, they had like deleted scenes.
From the movie?
No, from the book.
From the book?
Yeah, they had extra pages that he just took out.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's crazy. And like, he tells you like where they were going to be and you kind of read
them. What a fucking boss, dude.
Yeah, I know. He like worked that much, you know? He's like, fuck these pages.
Yeah, I know. That's insane.
They're like fully colored and everything. Like. Yeah. I'm like, I don't even know why you take them out, you know?
Didn't
muffle anything.
That's incredible.
And this one was mostly like with Envy, and which is like the Brie Larson character, and then Brandon Root's character.
Mm-hmm. Do they have a base battle in the book?
No. Maybe I read this too fast, you know?
Well, I mean,
because I don't remember that.
Well,
anyway.
I mean, at least. You know, you were interested to like, you know, read the whole thing. How long did it take you to read like the next three volumes? Was it like all in one day?
No, like I read like one like
a day
over like 2 days, I would say.
Okay, gotcha.
Just like, you know, 30 minutes on lunch, you know, at night and whatnot. And like when you're reading like all the books, they take over like a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Like they go for like months. Like in volume like 4, it's like hot outside.
Oh, you know? Yeah. And so, yeah, because in the movie, it's like, it seems like that happens over like 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, the movie, I kind of looked into the production of it and whatnot. And volume 6 wasn't even like out when they finished like the script. So nothing in volume 6 is in the movie.
So where does it branch off?
Like volume 5. I don't know what is in volume 6.
Oh, okay, okay.
So the last one, the last volume of this.
Did you see like Gideon and all that?
I assume like so I'm not at that point.
Oh, okay, I see. Sorry.
I'm at 4. I'm like in the middle of 4 right now.
Gotcha.
So that was just something I saw.
The Game of Thrones did.
Yeah. But I think it worked out. Like,
yeah.
Because I watched it and I'm like, I don't feel like anything's like missing. And they got like all these like good parts and whatnot. But this movie has like better action than like most action movies.
It's pretty
like,
fire.
Apparently the stunt coordinators were like, they're like Jackie Chan's stunt coordinators, which is cool.
That is pretty cool.
Things like that.
Yeah, and Edgar Wright's always been pretty good with stuff like that.
Yeah, this was after Hot Fuzz for him.
Interesting.
So.
There's some good action in that one, too, even.
Yeah.
And then, what was after this for him? Was it Baby Driver? Technically Ant-Man, I guess, but then he stepped away?
I think Baby Driver, yeah. But, or no, maybe it was World's End.
Oh, it could have been.
I can't remember. So, do you remember there was like a fight? It was Ramona, and she pulls out like a big hammer.
Yep.
And she's fighting like her girl ex.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what her name was.
I don't remember.
So they like kind of, I haven't gotten to her yet in the book.
Okay.
That ex, but that fight in the book, it was Envy, which is Brie Larson's character.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay.
I think
like,
that makes more sense.
It does make sense. What? That they fought, she fought Envy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense, I guess. And so I thought that was like interesting, like how big of like a change that was.
Yeah.
And so she like fucking like teleports like the girl ex. No, the girl ex. I don't know if you remember that from the movie. Yeah. I'm like, she did Nightcrawler? This is crazy. Because it has like the puff of black smoke when she teleports and it's crazy.
I do remember that. Yeah. Yeah, there were some good fights in here.
Yeah, like every fight, I'm like, wow, this is like there's a lot of effort in this.
Yeah. Know? Apparently, I filmed for a long time too. It was like 9 months or something.
It seems pretty long.
Yeah.
But yeah, good movie. Honestly, like, I think it might be like a 10 out of 10 in my book.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, there's nothing I disliked about this. It was tons of fun. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like 2 hours, but it's like 2 hours.
Yeah.
It definitely could have been longer.
It's just like a good time all the way through.
Yeah.
And like, if people are like, this is weird, I don't get it, then you're dumb.
Yeah. I was worried because like when it started, I'm like, okay, this feels kind of weird. Is this cheesy? Like, is it going to feel dumb? I mean, like kind of.
It's like cheesy, it's like, but it knows what it is. So I think it's like.
Yeah, it's a campy, but like aware of
but
it.
But they use that to their advantage. And I think that's the big thing.
And then once you get into it, I'm like, no, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. What else did you watch?
I watched I caught up on all the comic book shows, Daniel, that are currently out.
Okay.
Which includes Invincible, Gen V, and Loki.
I'm not caught up on Gen V or Loki. Is Loki over?
No, one more episode.
Okay.
So just real quick, but I won't say anything about the plot, but I really liked the first episode. I was going to be really critical because I didn't like Loki season 1, and I was like, oh, I guess I'll see. So I really liked that first episode.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, and then I watched the second one, and I'm like, ooh, maybe it sucks again. And then
then the third episode's fun
and
again.
And I watched 3, 4, and 5, and I was like, this is pretty cool. I like this a lot. So, and I think a big part of that is Ouroboros.
OB?
Ki-Hoi Kwan's character.
Mm-hmm.
I just love him.
Yeah, he's great.
And
he's a great addition.
Yeah, he really is, dude. And I just think it's so fun. They also do like weird time stuff. Owen Wilson's character gets some more play. So, I think it's really fun. You should watch it.
Yeah, no, I will. Maybe today or tomorrow.
Gen V, you should also watch.
I saw Soldier Boy was in it. That was fun.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a goddamn
minute. The line that he opens up with is so funny.
What did he say?
I like yelled laughing. It was like, so you saw that episode?
Yeah. Where they're like in, what's her name's mind or whatever.
Yeah, and he's like, he calls them like queers or something. I can't remember. But then he also comes up with a bunch of analogies for like girls masturbating, and he's like, you know, Diddle the Skittle, you know, or like Flicking the Bean, like just stuff like that. And I thought Diddle the Skittle was so foul.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ew, gross. Guy sucks.
What about Invincible? You watched the first episode?
I did watch the first episode of Invincible. Fire. It's longer, right?
I don't know. It's like still like 40 minutes, right? Did the animation seem like a little off?
Dude, yeah, it did.
Yeah, it's like cheaper.
It did feel like that.
I think they're rushing it.
It took them 2 years to get here.
I know.
It felt different.
It wasn't like the fighting. It was like these slow moments.
It was, yeah. It was definitely like just the characters
talking.
When
like Debbie's like having like tea or something with what's her name. That's when I noticed it the most.
I think I noticed it the most when like the Guardians of the Globe were just talking to each other.
Yeah, it's like those slower moments.
And it's like something about it doesn't line up correctly. I don't even really know what it is, but it like feels like a little bit different.
It's like the movement doesn't seem very natural.
Yeah. So maybe they did rush it. I don't know.
Hopefully
they get back in line with it. But yeah, it was like a little distracting, but it's mostly fine.
Yeah, you just kind of have to get over that. Mm-hmm. Sterling K. Brown as Angstrom Levy.
Great.
Is incredible.
I don't
Such
know.
Such a great choice.
I don't know who that is.
In my head, the black guy who's with the clones.
I know who Levy is, but I don't know Sterling K. Brown.
Oh, he's he was like Killmonger's dad in Black Panther, if you remember that.
I do.
He was in The People versus O.J. Simpson.
What's a live action thing I've seen him in? I've seen this dude's face before.
I'm trying to remember.
He's like very sweaty in whatever I saw him in.
He's in fucking...
He's in The Predator. He's in The Best Predator.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's what it is. That's how I know him.
You're so dumb. This is like such a well-regarded actor. And you're like, he's in Predator.
He's good in that movie. He's funny. He's actually like the funniest character.
Yeah, he's like, it was like Olivia Munn's character. He's more like a hunter. He's like, yeah, but we thought Predator sounded cool, right?
Yeah.
And right. I was like, right. He's like, fuck yeah.
I'm embarrassed to anyone.
But yeah, he's got a great voice. And
he just does.
And Angstrom Levy. So in my head, it was Angstrom Levy when I was reading it.
But it's Levy?
Levy.
I'm like, that sucks.
I'm like, fuck that.
I want Levi. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, it's something about his voice or his voice acting.
It's like very soothing.
It sounds so like genuine, which I think is so important because...
It's really just him talking, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. But like, I really feel that about like this dude's character. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he just really did want to help, you know? He did it in like a weird way. But like,
yeah.
And I think this is more Kirkman's credit, but like he's so good at like introducing things that like we've seen before as like comic book or like superhero fans.
Yeah.
But he like puts such a like a good twist on them. And you're like, I believe, you know, that this is a situation that could have happened, you know, because like in what? This, he's trying to put all the minds of all the Levies together. Right.
Right.
But he's doing it in a sense to where he could just like help his universe and then eventually the other universes.
Right.
But it makes sense that Cecil would be interested in what's going on with the ginormous power surge that's going on here. And it seems natural that Invincible would see the Mahler twins and be like, there's some fucked up shit going on here.
Yeah.
And then he would just fuck it all up.
Yeah. It's
and like I'm tragic. Like, this is like, yeah, this all checks out like in my head. Like I don't see, you know, anything wrong with like the writing of this. So I just think it's a just interesting situation to put together.
Did you see some scene where it shows that Angstrom Levy like survives that explosion?
Yeah.
When was that? Was that after the credits or something?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, because like
you didn't see
Lynn
that?
Told me about that. I'm like,
yeah, he looks.
I'm like, what
you
the
see
fuck?
His big fucked up noodly brain?
Brain head, yeah.
And neck and back.
Yeah.
It's really gross.
I need to watch that because it's a very gross design.
You'd think they would just end the episode with that.
Yeah, I fucking hate these like episode after credit scenes and shit.
It is really annoying.
At least give it like a couple seconds because like you miss like important shit. I know he's alive.
Yeah.
But like Sarah doesn't.
But also like treat it like you did the first episode because the whole Omni-Man thing.
Yeah.
Was an after credit scene. Right.
But it was very quick.
It was very quick. Yeah. So make it that
that's
quick.
That's what fucking hooks people in.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Make it like that quick because this one you had to like wait for a little bit, you know. So yeah, it's I hated dumb. What I did hate about this episode is that they tried to fake us out with the Invincible thing.
Sarah thought it was like a training simulation or
what?
Because like,
oh, no. Sorry. When you know how like
it starts in a different universe.
No, I understand that. But what I'm talking about is Remember in the first season when they're about to say Invincible, it cuts into like the screen?
Oh, yeah. Everyone, like four people say Invincible.
Yeah. And but like they but give like a little pause. It's only funny the first time, I think.
Yeah.
But then they kind of lean into it a little bit more. But yeah, the other universe thing, I was pretty sure I knew what was happening. So I was like, I like didn't say anything, but Sophie was like trying to figure out in her head.
Yeah.
And
because it was like, is Immortal fighting Invincible at first?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, they like training or something.
Yeah.
Like so it's some sort of like X-Men training facility or whatever. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And then they like fucking squish his head. Like, is this a dream?
Yeah. Like, it's interesting trying to figure it out.
She's like, ah, multiverse. And blah.
Yeah.
You said you had a question about it.
So did he get all of the Levies together in like his universe?
Yeah.
In the book?
Yeah.
And then like fucking melt them all together into his brain by accident? Like, is that how that happened?
Yeah, like he was trying to do like the mind thing.
Okay, and did he connect multiple of that thing that he had with nine other universes to make 1,000?
I don't remember if that specifically happened in the comic, but
I just thought that was a weird aspect.
That was cool.
Yeah, pretty
cool. Just like take what they're doing, just like an up a notch, you know?
Yeah. It also makes sense that like after getting everybody's brains together, when most of their experience is that like Invincible's like a really bad guy.
Yeah.
That he would just like hate Invincible after that too. And like only latch onto like those memories.
I think it was probably more that he fucked up his experiment thing.
That also doing. Sucks, but like
that's since probably the whole, main thing.
I think that's what they're gonna go with the main thing, but I'm like
he could also be
but it's also driven up.
Crazy because this
yeah,
because
of the thing trauma.
Didn't go, well, not even the trauma, just like this mental experiment with neurology or whatever like got fucked up. So that could probably just make him insane by itself.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember in the different universe, Sophie was like, isn't like Robot like a little kid now? And I was like, oh yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Is Jason Mantzoukas still
Rexplode?
Rexplode?
Yeah.
There was a couple lines where I'm like, is that someone doing a Rexplode impression?
No, it's still, yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah.
I think with Angstrom Levy, it was like he had more like technology that can get him to different multiverses, and it wasn't like a power like they did in the show.
Oh,
but very like
I did have minor a question about detail. That too. So in this he just can go to a different universe and it's just fine, that's his power.
Yeah.
Is it only his power or do the other versions of him do that?
I think he's the only one that has that power.
Interesting. Okay.
But it's not like he teleports, he just would be in the same spot.
Yeah. In different I like universes. That aspect of it.
Yeah, no, it's super fun.
Yeah. Just a little yoink and twist from Kirkman.
Classic. So, anything else?
Yeah, I watched Scavenger's Reign. Have you heard of that?
No.
This show is my shit.
Oh, based off of the Scavengers, like that's like based off of like a short film. You can watch it on like YouTube.
Is it animated?
Yeah. So,
yeah,
I know more about it than you. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it just came out. There's like two episodes out.
There's nine, and there's the nine? Last three come out tomorrow. They're dropping like the last three tomorrow.
They drop them three at a time?
No, I don't know.
Damn, I last time I checked, there's just one episode.
I started it this weekend, and I was like, this fucking rules.
Is it fuck?
It's fucked, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, so my best...
You don't need to like sell it to me.
I won't sell it to you, but like my best comparison is like, you know how in like Studio Ghibli films where like someone will be like making like food or something, and it's like... There's like a lot of focus on like the artistic style of like just them chopping carrots or whatever and then putting something into like a fire. Do you watch Studio Ghibli movies?
I've seen one.
One? That's insane to me. You should watch them.
I don't date a weeb.
That's fair. Serena watches them.
Has she?
Yeah, we saw Ponyo together.
Have you seen that new one that has like Robert Pattinson in it?
Yeah, it looks great.
Looks cool.
The boy,
well, I don't know if it's
the boy Studio and Ghibli, the heroine or the heron.
Heron.
Yeah. Anyway, but like I would liken it to that, but it's like fucked up sci-fi because cool. Like the setting is like an alien planet and they give a lot of time to just show what the fucked up wildlife of this planet is.
Yeah.
And I think that's so fun because they do a lot of like show don't tell kind of thing. Like there's not one guy that's like, oh, this is like a fucking flippledorp and this is what they do. You know, you just kind of like see what happens and you're trying to like figure out these creatures as they go because some of them are like really fucked up.
Yeah.
Also, I almost cried at one point
because
something like really sad happened and I wasn't expecting it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this sucks because that could have been great, you know? So I recommend.
Yeah, you should watch. I think it's on HBO. It's just called Scavengers. It's like a little short film. I think it's only like 8 minutes, really.
Really?
But it's on YouTube. And I watched that when I heard that this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw that Scavengers Reign was out, Sarah was with me. I'm like, I can't sell her on this, you know?
Yeah, I put it on because I wanted to like fall asleep. I just wanted to watch something. And then I didn't fall asleep. It was after the thing.
So what made you watch it? Did you just see it and you saw it was animated and you're like, oh, let's check it out?
I saw it. It looked interesting. And Parker recommended it to both Ben and I.
Mm.
And they're like, this is cool.
Yeah.
So I watched it. It was like the day after we had our thing on Saturday. So I had like no sleep pretty much.
Oh, okay.
And I planned on just like putting something on and falling asleep. And then I just like didn't fall asleep. I was like, this is
sick. You shouldn't do that. Because then you'll be like dependent on always having something on when you go to sleep.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Don't tell me how to live my life.
All right.
But yeah, it's great. You should watch it.
I will.
Cool.
Cool.
You should watch Loki, Genvi, and Scavenger's Reign.
I will. Got so much fucking homework.
I know. I watched a lot this week.
This podcast is becoming work.
I know.
I know. No, I have been watching that shit. So,
what are we gonna read next week?
Then next week is our Thanksgiving episode.
Yes, it is.
It'll come out on Black Friday, I guess.
Cool.
You want to do a Thanksgiving book?
About shopping?
But Black Friday.
Yeah, Thanksgiving book. I like that.
Better yet, a family book.
A family book.
And who better than Marvel's first family?
Fantastic Four.
Why not? Do you want to do that?
Have we done a Fantastic Four book before?
Yeah, last Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We did a FF.
Do you have an idea?
I was just thinking like Ryan North's run,
which that is probably a better idea.
What was your idea?
Grant Morrison did a Fantastic Four book called Fantastic Four 1, 2, 3, 4. And in each issue, a different member of the Fantastic Four dies. which is not very nice.
Put a pin in it.
Let's do the Ryan North one. Because
it sounds good. But yeah, just, you know, it's newer. But, you know, we're getting into like, we always want to do more newer stuff.
Yeah,
you know, stuff exactly. That's coming out currently.
Is that the...
We know Ryan North's the GOAT.
Yeah, he is.
And Alex Ross covers, can't go wrong.
Who does the art on it? I know Pacelli did a run with Dan Slott, but I think that was before Ryan North's run.
Coelho?
Oh, Ibon Coelho?
Yeah, Ibon Coelho.
Oh, dude, he's so good.
Is he?
Yeah. He was on Venom for a little bit, filling in for Stegman, and I'm like, this is sick.
Sick. Oh, Yeah, I remember that. Didn't he do like...
I think he did Ultimate Carnage or
Carnage,
something.
Carnage, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so he's really good.
Sweet.
Good choice.
Sound good?
Yep, that sounds good.
Alrighty. Thanks everybody for watching. Thanks for listening. Check out the links in all of our bios. Check out the socials and whatnot. Like, follow, and subscribe. 5 stars, you know, things like that. Thumbs up.
That would be nice. Tell me if you've read another Brian Lee O'Malley book.
Yeah. What is your favorite Brian Lee O'Malley book?
What's your favorite family book? And then we'll read it next Thanksgiving, potentially.
Yeah. Tell us at trailwearspod@gmail.com. And have a good Friday.
Thanks, y'all.